Tonight, we give our thoughts on Wallace and Gromit's Grand Adventures Episode 1, plus we look at some of the big news that came out of the Game Developers Conference. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of March 29th, 2009. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell, back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Okay, if somebody wants to, like, challenge me in Peggle and it's, like, 2 hours before the show starts, I really ought to say no. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're listening to us here live on All Games Radio, I want to welcome you. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, or you can call us toll-free in North America, 1-866-880-0156. Or if you're listening to us on the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email address. You can email me whatever you want. Whatever you want to say, we'll listen to it. A little bit later on, also, I did get entries, and we are going to be giving away a copy of Killzone 2 for the PlayStation 3. If you're listening live and you didn't hear about the contest before, I apologize, but the entries have been closed. I've already got them, and I'll figure out some way to crown a winner. So I want to go ahead and start off with a review of a game that I received from Telltale Games. So this is a review copy. This is not one that I bought. I like to tell people if I've bought the game or if it was provided to me. This one was provided by my good friends at Telltale. It's their new kind of point-and-click adventure game. It's their new adventure game. It's based on the Wallace and Gromit franchise. It's a British, like, it looks like claymation. But it's Wallace and Gromit's Grand Adventures. Episode 1 was Fright of the Bumblebees. So I say that this is kind of a point-and-click adventure game. It feels like a point-and-click adventure game, except it actually, you do move around and walk around. So it's like they took the point-and-click adventure and allowed you to move around the character freeform. And they did this because this game is going to eventually be on Xbox Live Arcade. It came out on the PC this week. I believe it's $10, or you could get, until the end of the month, you can get the entire season for $30, which is, there's four episodes in the season. Then it goes up to $34.95. But you can go ahead and get this now. There's also a demo out if you want to see if your PC will run it. It doesn't take too beefy of a PC. I mean, I've got a Pentium 4 2.4 gigahertz, and it was running fine. It wasn't running at the highest resolution. I got this nice new monitor, and it was one of the first games I tried on it, and it really made my video card stumble. But it the minimum requirements is a 2.0. Pentium 4 2.0 gigahertz. So if you got anything higher than that, you're going to be fine. Now, I played it on the PC, but I played it with an Xbox 360 wired controller. So it would mimic the way most people might be playing it, which would be on Xbox Live Arcade. Like I said, the Xbox Live Arcade version is not available to the public yet, and I'm not on the partner net, which is their like internal press thing. So I haven't been able to try it on the Xbox 360. So I tried it on the PC, and now, to be fair, they did say that they were still kind of tweaking the gamepad controls on the PC version. So some of the complaints I have about the controlling probably isn't going to be there on the Xbox 360 version when it comes out. I don't know if it's going to have some of the same issues. Because to me, you can also control the character with WASD. So it's got the traditional WASD controls for keyboard and mouse players. Basically, the main problems I had with the game before I get into actually the story and the puzzles and stuff is that it is painfully obvious this is the first time Telltale Games has ever done a free-forming character-moving game. In all their previous games that I've played, like the Sam & Max and Strong Bad and even Bone, you clicked on something on the screen and the character went over to it. in this game, you actually have to walk and maneuver and get close to the object before you can select it, at least when you're using the controller. And like I said, I did not go back through with keyboard and mouse to see if I could click on something on the other side of the screen. But if you're playing on the Xbox 360, you're going to have to kind of get in the right position. And there are buttons that I didn't... maybe it was because I was playing the PC version. They didn't really go through the gamepad controls. There are ways that you can actually... You use the bumpers, and it will actually highlight everything that you can click on in the room, which is actually kind of nice. Because in other games like Sam & Max and the Strong Bad games, there would always be something on the screen I would just not click on, and I would be stuck for hours because I didn't have that item. So, you can actually see in this everything that you can click on and interact with. And then they've got a different system on how you can use something with someone else. And things like that. Now, one of the things in previous Telltale games that's not in this one is that there's no conversation trees at all. So you're not going to pick what to say. The way that you initiate different actions is that you click on, like if in one of the areas there's like pictures on the table. If you want to ask about a certain picture, you click on the picture, and then that's when that conversation part comes up. So there's no dialogue trees to click through, at least in this first episode. It's all based on what items you use with that character or what you click on in that character's vicinity. So the story, it's basically Wallace and Gromit. If you've ever seen Wallace and Gromit, it kind of follows the same feel of that. I actually hadn't watched any of the movies in quite some time. I think college was like one of the last times I saw it, and that was a while ago. But for those who don't know Wallace and Gromit, Wallace is this inventor type person, and Gromit is his dog. And Wallace is dumb, and Gromit is smart. And in this game, you actually control both of them at different times. You'll control Gromit in the beginning, and then you switch to Wallace, and then you go back to Gromit and things like that. So but basically, it's kind of an episode of that. But essentially, Wallace is this inventor, and he has all these weird contraptions in the house. And actually, the first thing you have to do in the game is you as Gromit have to actually fix Wallace breakfast. And you'll actually spend probably about 30 to 45 minutes trying to figure out how to make his eggs, toast, and honey. And because he's got these weird contraptions, it'll actually do it for you, but you have to fix them. They're broken. The contraptions are broken. So you actually have to find the thing to go fix it with. And then you also have to deal with the little squirrel that's stealing things from you. So it's all basic point-and-click adventure stuff. The only thing that's kind of changed is that you free-roam walk around. And, doing some of these puzzles and stuff showed why I think that this is the first time they've done, like, the free-roaming walking is because they do one of the things I hate in games is when you're kind of walking right on the screen will change and suddenly you're walking up. But you're still holding your joystick to the right. So then you change direction and go right. And there's actually one part in the town, in the main town square, where you walk right to get into the town square, and you appear, and if you continue walking right, you go back to the way you came, because it puts you on the left side of the screen, but to get back to where you came, to your street that your street home is on, it's to the right of the screen. So you can actually go in an endless loop like that. And there are also a couple other areas where they try to do, kind of put you at a different camera angle, and you actually wind up not even being on the screen. You're, like, below the camera. So you kind of have to figure out where you are. Nothing really game-breaking. It's nothing you can't deal with. It's frustrating for the first, 30 seconds you get to it. As you can tell, the controls are really my only main gripe of this. But it's other than, the story, it's you're trying to make a lot of honey, and you get an order after Wallace has destroyed some guy's store because of one of his other contraptions that you actually have to rescue from jail. That's a puzzle in itself. Basically, now he's trying to make honey, and what winds up happening is once he gets the honey thing made, he uses something that causes the bees to rebel. And then he has to fix this. Him and Wallace and Gromit both have to fix it in different ways. There are some action-y mini-games that include puzzle elements that you kind of have to figure out. So, it's got that, but it's not really... it doesn't really need reflexes. It's not a reflex game. So this is definitely one that you can think about. And as is the case in all the Telltale games, you can't die. There is no death You can't get locked into something. You can always finish the game. There's no way that you're going to lock yourself in a corner or anything like that. They've always done a good job of making sure that you can't lock yourself out. There's always a way out of where you are. There's always, there's always a way to complete the game from where you are. So, you know, it's not one of those games that you're going to go like, I can't get past this part. You know, I can't finish it. You know, I'm not good enough. No, there's a hint guide, so if you really need it, and also it will give you hints in the game. If you just kind of stand around, you can actually set the hidden level in the settings. It is typical Telltale length, so it's about 3 to 4 hours. I actually completed it in 3 hours. It might take somebody who's new to the genre probably 4 hours or more. There isn't anything to do after the game. There's no extended mode. It's not like the Strong Bad games where there were other things you could still collect. You can go back in the game and dig for more instruction manual pieces. Basically, when the episode is over, the episode is over. And then then they preview the next episode for you. So, you know, 3 to 4 hours, typical episodic game length. They're going to come out every month. Actually, this one is supposed to come out in April. They released it in March on the PC. So May is going to be the next episode. There's going to be 4 episodes total. I give it a B, mainly because of the controls. Hopefully, they will improve the controls over time. They did say in the email to me that the controls are kind of being worked on still. At least on the PC. And I played it the way you're not supposed to. I used a gamepad on a PC. Maybe I might have had an easier time if I had used the keyboard and mouse on the PC and then waited for the Xbox Live demo to come up and then played it with the Xbox Live controller. So don't take my control word for it on the Xbox 360 because I haven't played it on that. But I'd give it a B. If you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit, you'll like the humor and the voice acting and all that stuff. If you're not that much into the British comedy, you may not get it all. It kind of suffers from the same thing as Strong Bad, where, you know, if you weren't a fan of the Homestar Runner universe, you probably wouldn't get as much enjoyment out of those games. But, you know, if you're a Wallace and Gromit fan and you like, you know, adventure games and puzzles and stuff, they're not overly difficult puzzles. It's more, you know, item gathering, grab anything that's not nailed down. Even if you don't need it, there are actually things you can pick up that you never use. So you don't use everything in your inventory. But if you like it, you know, definitely check it out. There is a demo for the PC already, and it's going to be on Xbox Live Arcade, which will obviously have a demo included. Tiger Claw says, it sounds like you're describing an open-world point-and-click adventure game, and not really. I mean, it's not open-world. It's just like, it's a point-and-click adventure game that you have to move your character around as well. This game would have been exactly the same if they didn't let you move it around. You just click on things instead and select things rather than moving your character around. But obviously, if you're going to make a console game, you can't really do that, especially one that doesn't have a mouse interface. So that's Wallace and Gromit's Grand Adventures. If you disagree with me, blackwolf@allgames.com. I'll be getting the other episodes, so I will be keeping a track to see if they improve. Because it's all stuff they can improve on. And I love Telltale, so... Thank you guys for giving me... Once again, I do want to reiterate, this was a copy provided to me by Telltale. I did not purchase it myself, so, work that in. You know, if you want to take my opinion at face value, I did not spend money on this. I do tell people if I spent my own money on it, and this is one of those I did not. So, Game Developer Conference was this week, and as I said on my Twitter feed, Bobby Blackwolf, I'm going to try not to be emo about not going, because I always loved going to Game Developer Conference, because I'm a developer myself, and especially now that I'm getting into iPhone development and iPhone game development, it would have been really cool to go. I've always enjoyed GDC more than I've ever enjoyed E3. I was unfortunately not eligible. My outlet was not eligible to get a press pass. And then by the time they came back to me and were like, well, let's work something out. And I'm like, I already rebudgeted and couldn't afford to fly out to San Francisco. So I missed out on some groundbreaking news and one thing that I really did wish I was able to see in person. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first I want to talk about digital rights management, because a lot of companies have come out and said that we've made DRM better for consumers, which is great, because unfortunately digital rights management is going to exist. There's no way around it. You know, I mean, when I make stuff, I'd hope that my rights would be protected as well. Especially on things like, you know, PC games that people will spend 2-3 years of their life away from their families working on. Yeah, I do think that their rights should be protected. However, I also think that the consumer's rights should be protected at the same time. And the thing about DRM is that if somebody is determined enough, they will crack it. There's nothing that you're going to be able to do. You're not going to be able to stop people from cracking DRM. So, you know, it's got to be there, but it can't inconvenience the everyday user. That's the way I look at it. And there's a couple companies that have looked at it the same way. I want to first talk about Stardock. Stardock, they're the makers of Galactic Civilizations 2. They're also the people who run the Impulse system. They were the ones that made the Gamer's Bill of Rights, which made a debut at PAX, and actually I signed that Bill of Rights. My signature's on there somewhere. I think it's in the top right corner if they ever post a picture of the final signatures on it. And they basically says that, you know, the gamer has rights, which a lot of other companies don't say. And they announced that their forthcoming update to Impulse will include a technology aimed to pave the way to solving some of the common complaints of DRM. It's called GOO, Game Object Obfuscation. And see, when I first saw this, I thought that they were actually talking about World of GOO coming to Impulse. Like, when I saw the headline, it was like Impulse gets GOO'd or something like that. And I was like, oh, World of GOO is not only going to be on Steam, it's now going to be on Impulse as well. No, it's about this. Game Object Obfuscation. It's a tool that allows developers to encapsulate their game executable into a container that includes the original executable plus Impulse Reactor, Stardock's virtual platform, into a single encrypted file. When a player runs the game for the first time, the GOO'd program lets the user enter in their email address and serial number, which associates their game to that person, as opposed to a piece of hardware like most activation systems do. Once validated, the game never needs to contact the internet again. So here's some of the advantages that Stardock believes both gamers and developers will appreciate. So here's some of their things. This is taken from their website, by the way, impulsedriven.net. There is no third-party client required. This means a developer can use this as a universal solution since it's not tied to any particular digital distributor. So no more having to install Steam just to play that game you bought in the store. It paves the way to letting users validate their game on any digital distribution service that supports the game. One common concern of gamers is if the company they purchased a game from exits the market, their game library may disappear too. Games that use GOO would be able to be validated anywhere. And it opens the door to gamers being able to resell their games because users can voluntarily disable their game access and transfer their license ownership to another user. Let me repeat that for you. Basically, if you want to resell your digitally distributed game, you can voluntarily disable the game access, transfer your license to someone else, and they can then have the game. You can't both have it at the same time, but now you can sell a game that you got over the internet. They give you the way to do that. How awesome is that? So, because that's a lot of things people are saying about digital distribution is, you know, oh, I buy a game, I'm stuck with it. I can't get rid of it. I can't sell it. Well, if it's GOO'd from Stardock, you'll be able to get rid of that GOO, that icky GOO, and give that icky GOO to someone else. And they'll be able to play the game just like they bought it new. So the Brad Wardell, president and CEO of Stardock, says, quote, "One of our primary goals for Impulse Reactor is to create a solution that will appeal to game developers while adhering to the gamer's bill of rights. Publishers want to be able to sell their games in as many channels as possible, but don't want to have to implement a half dozen copy protection schemes. Game Object Obfuscation lets the developer have a single game build that can be distributed everywhere while letting gamers potentially be able to re-download the game later from any digital service. Plus, it finally makes possible a way for gamers and publishers to transfer game licenses to players in a secure and reliable fashion," unquote. So, and also, you can install the game to multiple computers without hassle because it's tied to your user. It's kind of like Xbox Live Arcade or anything on the Xbox Live Marketplace. It's tied to your gamer tag and the console you downloaded it on. So if you want to play, like, say you want to go to a friend's house and play Peggle, you know, and they didn't buy Peggle, you can take your memory card, and you can put Peggle on the memory card and your gamer tag, and as long as you're signed into Xbox Live, you have the full version of Peggle available, and you can play it. But then, you know, when you leave, he can't play the full version of Peggle. So it's kind of like that, except you can't transfer Peggle to another user. You can't gift it, say, you know, hey, I'm done with TMNT, the arcade game. why don't I, you know, sell it to someone else? You can't do that on Xbox Live Arcade, but with GOO, you'd be able to. GOO will be released on April 7th as a part of the upcoming Impulse Phase 3 release. Stardock also expects to be able to announce multiple player major publishers marketing using GOO in April, as well as adding their libraries to Impulse. So congrats to Stardock. They kind of get it. They kind of get it from what I've understood. Tiger Claw says, what if you bought the game and have no internet? There's no way to authenticate it. That's why they say on the box, a lot of times on the box you will see internet connection required for authentication. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to assume that everybody has at least dial-up, I guess. That is a growing concern, and there's no way around that. You're going to have to authenticate on the internet. At least it's only the first time. And then you don't have to authenticate on the internet again. Butchkawa says, so what's the point letting a friend have your game if you just let them use your ID from email? That was worded weirdly. I'm sick. And you could do that, too. You could have a shared account. I mean, I know people that do that on Steam. You know, they have one Steam account. And, five computers can be authorized on that Steam account, but only one can be in at a time. So that's kind of the way that Steam gets around it. But with this, I mean, obviously, since they don't have to get on the register it again, you can actually have multiple people playing at the same time. So that's one of the things that that I guess they're okay with. That should be a gamer's right, I guess. So more DRM. They're not the only ones that made an announcement about DRM. Valve, Steamworks. They also have a DRM solution. Valve announced a new set of advanced features delivered in Steamworks, a complete suite of publishing and development tools that are available free of charge to developers and publishers worldwide. Headlining the new feature set is the Custom Executable Generation, or KEG. CEG. So I'm going to say KEG. So we got GOO and KEG. KEG technology that complements the already existing anti-piracy solution offered in Steamworks. A customer-friendly approach to anti-piracy, KEG makes unique copies of games for each user, allowing them to access the application on multiple machines without install limits and without having to install rootkits on their PC. So there's also some other things that they included about like DLC and matchmaking and all that stuff. But so now they're going to. Steam's idea is that you're going to get a custom executable that's just for you. But I don't know if you're going to have to authenticate this on every machine. You're going to have to communicate on the internet with a mutual each machine, or if it's you have the executable and it's your executable and you can get put it on whatever machines without them having to connect to the internet, or what. This was kind of vague in terms of what they were adding to that. So. Valve is also trying to do something with Steamworks, which is a publishing platform. A lot of people think that like Steamworks is going to take down like XNA and stuff like that. No, I bet you could use Steamworks stuff in XNA code. I mean, it's more of a wrapper around your existing game, no matter what you programmed it in. There were a couple people that were talking about that and had no clue what they were talking about and called me stupid for calling them out. So there is another DRM solution out there, and EA is actually doing it. Electronic Arts. They're doing it the old way, and not too old. I mean, when I think of the old way, I always think of, like the little color wheel or something that you had to twist the wheel or, find the page in the manual or, like SimCity had like this black on dark red text and you had to, so you couldn't photocopy it. We're not going that far back, but EA posted on their site, The Sims 3 is going to not have restrictive DRM. The game, according to EA, will have disk-based copy protection, which means a serial code. So it's going to be just like The Sims 2. To play the game, there will not be any online authentication needed. So, Tiger Claw, for The Sims 3, if somebody who buys The Sims 3 does not have internet, they are not screwed. There you go. EA's got the solution for you. They feel like this is a good time-proven solution. It makes it easy for you to play the game without DRM methods that feel overly invasive or leave you concerned about authorization server access in the distant future. So, The Sims 3, it's probably more likely to be played by people who don't have internet, whereas, say, Sins of a Solar Empire from Stardock, that's going to be a hardcore game, and they're at least going to have dial-up. If they've even heard of Sins of a Solar Empire, they've got internet. But The Sims 3, that is more than likely going to be in homes that maybe don't have internet access. So this was actually a smart move for them, especially after the whole SecureROM debacle with Spore and things. I think they learned their lesson from the Amazon bombing of Spore. So, EA's trying to get better. I got to give them that. InnoLogic says, but if that product key is not valid, well, then it won't matter because it's The Sims 3. If the product key is not valid, EA's got the customer support number, and they can work with you on that, most likely. ChrisPhil1724 says that EA's DRM, we got your money, we don't care. InnoLogic also says that I know a guy who does not have access to the internet, but he's 75 years old. Well, I don't think he'd be playing Sins of a Solar Empire either. Mace Satsuma says, kegs and icky goo, is Bobby talking about DRM or a college frat party? Who knows? So that's the DRM stuff. And there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about. And this is kind of the reason I kind of wish I was able to go to GDC, because I don't believe this thing exists. No matter how many reputable people actually tell me, oh, I was there and I watched it work and I played it and everything like that. And I'm like, it's got to be a sham. It's got to be a sham. On live. Everybody's been talking about it this week. Every podcast is probably going to bring this up. I apologize. I'm going to be one more that's going to be bringing it up. Ars Technica reports that OnLive has generated a significant amount of buzz here at GDC 2009. The company's booth was packed with interested writers and industry professionals. I wish I was one of them. It works something like this. You install a client on your PC and Mac and log into the service with an impressively slim 1 meg client. Not gig. Not 500 megs. 1 megabyte. You could fit 256 of these on an Xbox Live memory unit. Anyway, the game is played at OnLive's headquarters using their hardware, and the image is streamed to your television. If you don't want to use your computer, the company also offers a tiny micro console that will handle the streaming for you. That way, you get to enjoy all the fine graphics with none of the cost of the hardware, not to mention the upkeep that normally comes from PC gaming. The games looked and played great at the booth, with titles like Burnout Paradise and Crysis showing off what the system can do. But what kind of pipes do you need to get all this madness running? According to a company representative, they said, quote, all you need is a 5 megabyte download speed, and we can deliver games running at 720p at 60 frames per second. Unquote. And then if you don't have a connection that fast, they can lower the resolution and frame rate to match your speed. All over the booth, people were happily playing games, and they look great on the service. Is this really the future of PC gaming? Now, I will say that I know that my connection wouldn't work with this, and my computer wouldn't work with this, because I cannot stream 720p at 60 frames a second right now. I can't stream video, like non-interactive video. It stutters my machine. My machine, unfortunately, can't handle it for whatever reason, probably because it's old and sucks. So I may have too low end of a machine to be able to handle that type of throughput. They were playing all these games, and everybody's saying, you know, well, hey, just the fact that, you know, there's EA games on the service, that means it's not a sham. Well, you see, here's the thing. Quote, the games we're showing now, we have deals to show them at GDC, unquote, which means they're not actually a part of the service. They just got deals to be able to show those games at GDC. I don't know if EA is really on board in the long term, or if EA let them pay some kind of licensing fee to show their game running on the service. I don't know. So while the demos were impressive, the possibility that this is all smoke and mirrors remains. According to Ars Technica, they could easily be a top-of-the-line PC hidden in the booth running the game for you. And it's up to in the air if it works as advertised. Apparently, from what they were telling people in the booth, that the server was actually 50 miles away from the convention center, and they were playing over the internet. I have seen the internet at conventions like this, and they're not really dependable. Reliable, anything like that. So, you know, especially when everybody's kind of using kind of the same pipe out of the convention hall. So I'm not so sure if they were really running a server offsite. I think they had something on site. This is basically using cloud computing, which is something that's made great strides, a technology that's made great strides over the past couple of years, where other computers are actually doing the computational work for you. And apparently, and OnLive's not the only game that's game in town that's tried to tap into this. There are other people who are making cloud computing gaming things. But my question is, you know, the latency and stuff, because I've done this, not really, but I mean, if you look at remote play on the PS3, so I got my PSP and I connect directly to my PS3. I'm talking directly. I'm not through my network. I'm talking. The Wi-Fi signal coming out of my PS3 goes directly to my PSP. I don't go through my router or anything like that. And I try to play a PS1 game. You can put any, as long as your PS3 can play them, you can put a PS1 game and it will actually transmit over a remote play over to your PSP. I can't play any game that requires reflexes, because there is still, no matter how I set up the settings, at least a 1 second lag time between when I hit the button and when the character actually does it on the screen, which means that it's really half a second, because it's got to be my thing has to get to him, and then the game reacts, and then it has to send back the video. So it's a 1 second round trip time. So anything that requires any type of quick reaction, I can't play over remote play. And theoretically, this is the same kind of thing. And that's not even a 720p 60 frames a second. That's like, you know, PSP size screen at 24 frames a second or whatever they're running it at. And I can't even do that on my local network just from one to another. So I'm really supposed to trust my cable internet to be stable enough to give me a 720p 60 frame a second speed. I mean, I'm sure that they probably could have the technology to do it, but it's only in certain circumstances. I don't think everybody's internet is going to be able to handle this. And also, the other thing you got to look at is, I always bring this up every single time, Comcast has announced that it's 250 gigs a month. That's all you can do. That's download and upload. Right now, nobody comes close to it, but if you're going to be playing all of your games over this kind of service, you're going to hit that 250 gigs a month very quickly, and you're going to have your internet shut off here. Other countries also have bandwidth limits. Countries like ISPs and stuff in other countries, they actually have to make sure that they don't go over a certain limit. Colleges, they'll cap your bandwidth if you take too much. So, this isn't going to be a solution for everybody. I don't see it being a solution for everybody in the near future. And it definitely won't be a cheap one because, their service may be cheap, but Comcast or whoever your internet provider is may want you to pay a higher fee so they don't cap your bandwidth, and that's where the whole net neutrality thing comes in. Tiger Claw says, I don't think music games would work with this due to latency issues. I don't think any game really would work with this except for maybe a point-and-click adventure game or a turn-based RPG. I don't really, because, you need quick reflex. First-person shooters, you think you're going to want to have a half-second lag between when you press the fire button and it actually fires? You can't do that. Hey Jude says the 250 gigs a month is only in certain areas. It's in my area. DC Nate says text games would work okay. I think they would, actually. You can play a MUD right now completely on a different machine. Game Guru says, seems that this would be cool for Cyber Cafe. I do a show from a Cyber Cafe, Computer Arena. They couldn't handle this. They have like 30 PCs. If all those 30 PCs were forced to actually get their video from an outside source, then their internet can't handle it, even if they have, fiber or whatever. So I don't think this is... maybe if the technology was available and they could put the servers away, put the computers away from plain sight, which is kind of what Computer Arena does with their Xbox 360s, is that, the Xbox 360 at Computer Arena, they actually have them all behind the counter and they just run really long wires across the ceiling to all the game stations and through the floor. So people can't actually touch the console and put their own game in and things like that. But the PCs are actually right there next to the computer, and maybe if there was this thing where they could have the PCs in the back and they just have the keyboard and mouse and things up front, or a dumb terminal right in front of them, that could work. But I don't see them actually wanting to use it over the internet and getting an internet stream. Chrisville 1724 says you could play on live for 83 minutes before hitting your cap, is what he says. So we're going to take a quick music break, which you will not hear on the podcast, and then we're going to take your calls about any of this stuff, on live, DRM, anything like that. Be sure to stay tuned. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis is the best video game ever.
I disagree. It's a very good game, but I think Donkey Kong is the best game ever.
Donkey Kong sucks.
You know something? You suck.
On allgames.com.
That's a different bumper than the ones I've been playing. From KDog96, I actually did get a bumper. And I unfortunately didn't see it until about 10 minutes before I was supposed to go on the air, so I couldn't use it tonight. But the person actually said, I hate hearing that same bumper over and over again. So I got the bumper. I hadn't run it this week, but you can also send a bumper and add it to our list so I don't go back to the bumper I've been using. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Say your preferably your name somewhere in the bumper and something about coming back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. And we'll put it here in the show. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our Skype line and our phone line, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. 1-866-880-0156 is how you can call us toll-free in North America and talk about anything that you want to talk about. And if you want to expand upon more stuff on OnLive, there was a lot of coverage on the OnLive service. If you think it's work for you, would you use it? Would you use this service? Basically, it's bringing high-end gaming, high-end PC gaming to everybody is kind of the way that they're trying to say bring it. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. It's Jason, Colorado.
Jason, so what's on your mind tonight?
Calling in with a completely unsurprising topic, given that we've been through this once before.
Right.
But I'll make it short because everybody's already said this.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. 5 megabytes or 5 megabit connection?
Probably 5 megabit. It's just
okay,
5 MB in it, it's in all caps is what, but that could be the that could be just the writer or something. But yeah, it's what most people have. It's underneath.
Because I was going to say that if it's 5 megabytes, all commercials advertise in megabits.
Yeah,
and
it's
5 megabytes is a 40 megabit connection, and that would kind of kill your market. But you know that.
Yeah.
So you understand this the same way that I do. Has anybody actually defended the OnLive that isn't a part of the online team so far?
I've had a couple of people that have actually seen it, like when they're at GDC, and they have defended it by saying, yes, it's real, I just used it and stuff, which could be all smoke and mirrors. I don't know.
Have they defended to the extent that they think it's going to be plausible and a worthwhile, a worthy service that's going to last for years and years to come and actually be a competitor in this arena?
Some have, and the argument they use is, you know, hey, I saw it. Their argument is twofold. It's, hey, I saw it work, and, you know, hey, you know, EA games are on the service. You don't think EA would back something that's a sham?
I thought of this earlier today, or yesterday, one of the two. Not like it matters. Anybody who really thinks that this is going to be something that's going to play well, I mean, you've already covered this with the whole reflective muscle reaction gaming. If anybody thinks that this is really plausible, this is what they need to do. They need to have a PS2 to USB adapter or any kind of a game controller to USB adapter. They need to make legitimate ROM dumps of all of their games, and they need to start up an emulator on their computer. They need to play their games with this laggy USB adapter and play something that requires not an RPG, not a turn-based strategy. Like you said, they need to play something reflexive like Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers, ooh, Battletoads and Double Dragon, specifically mm-hmm. Act 2 where you have to dodge the you're in the hoverbike and you have to dodge the fences or the trash cans. They need to play that and measure how much frustration they get through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's locally on your computer's bus.
Right.
That's going to be, I mean, I played Mario's Picross on an emulator, and that was annoying just because I thought I had the input in the right I thought I hit all the keys in the right order, and I didn't. And it penalized me, and I was pretty frustrated with the game.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's local. This is the internet where anything can go wrong.
Now, are you sure are you sure that wasn't because you just suck at Picross?
Oh, come on. Oh, jeez.
Hey, somebody has to ask.
It might have been. I don't know. It was a few years ago.
I blame my controller.
Yeah, controller error. Pad miss. Yeah. This is a good idea, technically sound, or no, not technically sound, what I'm saying, marketing sound.
Right.
The buzzwords are all there. It's great for a convention, but it's just not going to hold up.
Yeah, I hope they're at E3. I would like to see this, you know, down the line and actually see it for myself. I mean, a lot of the people, even in chat, they're saying a lot of the press is taking a wait and see. But some people are saying, you know, hey, you know, I saw it, it worked. They said it was 50 miles away, I believe them, and EA wouldn't be involved. And that's kind of why I kind of made a point of saying that, you know, EA's not technically involved yet. They just license their games to be shown with the service. I mean,
right.
Unreal Tournament, I saw Unreal Tournament, I think it was 2003, running on a Phantom. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that Epic was approving the Phantom. They just had the license, you know, Phantom paid the licensing fee to have Epic, to Epic, so they could run Unreal Tournament. And I actually played Unreal Tournament on a Phantom, the only time the Phantom's ever been seen in public. And the Phantom
and
first,
just for,
huh?
Good. Finish.
No, but I was just going to point out in chat, Phantom's not trying to do the same thing. The Phantom was a PC, and it was basically, it was just more of a digital distribution platform where it would play the games locally. This is, you don't have to play the games locally. You don't have to download them or install them or anything, and that's where this is different from the Phantom. But I don't know if it's still going to be around like the Phantom.
Maybe it'll have the exact same life. I can't even think of what I'm trying to say. Timeline, I guess. Maybe it'll have the exact same timeline and release as the Phantom.
Yes.
I.e., not happening.
Yes. It'll be Duke Nukem Forever will be released on OnLive first. That's what it's going to be.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Anything else on your mind?
I think that's about it.
All right. Thanks so much, Jason.
Thanks, Bobby.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 is where you can call in and talk about anything. So we're going to go ahead and take another caller here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is DS Master 26.
DS Master, so what is on your mind?
Hey, I was wondering, hey, you heard about that Rock Band Unplugged for PSP?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what, but by the sounds of it, it sounds like a comeback to Frequency.
Yeah, it is. It's basically, it's taking the Frequency and Amplitude gameplay and putting the Rock Band label on it. That's kind of the way I saw it.
Do you know what? I think, you know how the old guitar grip that the DS has, right?
Right.
I think they could have probably copied that, but kind of modified it a little bit for the PSP and try to do Guitar Hero on the PSP, but it would flick the little analog stick. Strum?
Yeah, no, I don't think it would have worked. And I don't think that Harmonix would have really wanted to do it that way. I mean, the DS guitar grip hurts your hand, and that's no good.
Yeah,
you know, it hurts your wrist.
I do agree with that. It gives me more hand cramps than my console controller. And actually, thank God World Tour uses the Rock Band guitars. It can use those, because my hands never cramp up on that, but for some weirdo reason, the default controllers they give you, I cramp up on easily.
Yeah. So, I'm actually happy that it's going back. It's just using the button configuration. That way I don't have to worry about taking another, you know, like I can't take Guitar Hero anywhere because I don't have room in my bag for, you know, the little guitar grip. So I'm kind of happy that, I can just have my PSP and play the game.
Yeah, but it sounds like the same control scheme for, what was that, DJ Max that they have out on the PSP, which I can barely even play that enough as it is. I just have the demo, but I can barely even play that even at the slow speed you can play that. I cannot play it for the life of me.
That may just be because you suck.
Yeah, but
you suck at the game.
Hey, what would you think of this? You know Beatmania released a few years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back on the PS2.
Right.
What would you think? I mean, now with the days of download content and everything, do you think it'd be a smart idea for Konami to probably re-release it for the Wii 360 and PS3?
It didn't sell well the first time.
Would.
It didn't sell well the first time around. And they tried that. I mean, they tried it with Beat and Groovy is just poppin' music, which is one of the Konami's other franchises, and it didn't do too well, and it's not very well supported either. So, I don't think they get it.
Maybe it's just because they probably have a niche fan base compared to Activision's Guitar Hero and everything.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, they need to get their heads screwed on straight if they're going to try to compete with Activision. I mean, what else have you ever seen from them, I mean, other than just another re-release of Dance Dance Revolution every year?
Well, that's all Konami thinks that Americans wanted, and they didn't realize that they were sitting on a gold mine until everybody else went into it. And, now Rock Revolution, I think Amazon's selling the whole bundle for like $20, so obviously that went over well, too.
Heck, I got the DS version. It's not that bad, I mean, except the bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
The bass guitar sounds like something you'd probably hear on a cell phone ringtone. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
Like the old school cell phone ringtones. That's how it sounds. And, I mean, it's great for a DS game, how they integrate it, but not that great, really. Konami really needs to get their head straight if they're going to ever catch up to Activision Harmonix at this point. At the rate they're going.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate
it. I'm going under.
Yep. Thanks for your comment.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Been a long time listener and a long time fan. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks. So I will go ahead and try to take one more call. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about anything we've been talking about, we're going to make it kind of quick. We're coming up to the end of the show rapidly. Orange Lounge Radio is coming up next. They took a week off, and they're going to be back tonight, and it'll be great. So we do have one more call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. He's been trying to call in all night, so I'm glad he got in. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Tyrone Hawk is sock number three.
Tyrone Hawk, I wasn't going to tell you that you sucked. So what's on your mind, man?
Oh, no, just about... we have been talking so much about he whose name must not be said again since when it was last year, when mm-hmm. he got the boot from the people of from the core of Florida, and now he's mm-hmm. on Utah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing because this guy keeps, you know, disturbing us, video gamers all around, and he keeps finding people that really, you know, that these are the same people that will go against role-play gamers, mm-hmm. video gamers, whatever. I mean...
Yeah, if people don't know what we're talking about, let me just kind of give some background on what you're talking about. So if people don't know what we're talking about... there was a bill that passed the House and Senate in Utah that was had absolutely zero teeth, but it was going to fine retailers if they sold games to minors. And it literally had no teeth. And on Friday Night Gaming, we actually talked about why it didn't have any teeth and actually was a detriment to posting ESRB notices in your store. But the governor vetoed it. And now, you know, the people who backed the bill are, you know, saying that, you know, he's bowing to pressure and all that stuff. So Utah, congrats to the governor. He vetoed it, and it looks like the House and Senate are not going to try to override the veto. So they don't have to pay all the exorbitant legal fees to the video game industry when they sue it for being unconstitutional. So, yeah, that's what Tyrone was bringing up. So, he's only somebody that gets under your skin if you let him. And it's kind of sad that we always give him coverage every time he does something, even though we keep saying we're not going to talk about him, we're not going to talk about him, and then we wind up talking about him. But he's doesn't have as much teeth. He was never actually in the state of Utah to do it.
Yeah, I know. It's just that he always finds these kind of people. I mean, maybe in 2 months or 3 months, he will try it again with another angle. So it's amazing.
Yeah, and he doesn't tell them that this exact same stuff failed in other states. He doesn't tell them that. He just says, oh, those activist judges, you know, screwed it up. We're trying to save the children. We're trying to think of the children. And actually, he is going now, you know, now that he can't really do anything. I did hear that he is saying that he actually wants to make the video games actually illegal, like, period, which is something this person has never said before. He just wanted to stop it from... stop minors from buying it. He wanted to stop children from being able to buy them. But now he's kind of going on the tactic saying, you know, well, hey, if it's going to be unconstitutional for us to make you only sell to adults, I'm just going to now start trying to ban the games together. And he really never did it, with the exception of Take-Two. He never really said, I want to see the game industry go out of business. He always said, made it a point to say that he didn't want to take down the game industry. He just wanted to protect the children. Now he's actually saying, we need to ban these games from being made. Like, nobody should be able to have these games because kids can get a hold of them.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing.
And we keep talking about him every time he says it. So
he's
winning. He's winning.
You're right.
Anything else on your mind, man?
No, nothing else. Keep it up, okay?
All right.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California, who have been off for the last week. They're back tonight. They're back with a vengeance. I don't know what kind of vengeance. We're going to try to figure that out whenever it connects to them. And see what they're going to be up to, see what they did on their week off, see what they think about any of this stuff. See if Orange Lounge Radio is going to have DRM, if they're going to have Icky Goo. All of these burning questions that we hope to get answers for. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we are, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a long time no speak.
I know. A week is a very long time in the internet podcasting world. It's weird to be gone for a week. It just throws everything out of whack. Exactly. But we're well rested. We feel really good, and batteries all charged after a week off. And, you know, the TV shows and stuff take all summer off.
Right.
So I can just imagine how restful that's got to be, but also how hard to get into the routine it is to get after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I say long time no see, but we did actually play something this week, Sky.
Yes, we did. You and I had a little Peggle party.
We had a peg party. And how did that turn out?
Crappy for me, but great for you.
Woohoo!
But, yeah. I think, what was it? You won four games to my one or something like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the tricky things about the Peggle party, though, is that you can only use characters that you've unlocked in single-player mode. Mm-hmm. And since I've been so gaming ADD lately, I think I only have like three or four characters unlocked in Peggle single-player. And it looked like you had them all.
Oh, yeah,
not
I had
more.
Them. I eventually went down to your level.
Oh, yeah. You did like the last game. And
that's
it was,
when you
it
won.
It was a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the one you won. So what else have you been playing? You've had 2 weeks, man.
I have. Gosh, there's been a variety of things. Me personally, I've been playing Retro Game Challenge on the DS. Bit Trip Beat on the Wii was one of the things I downloaded, as well as the new Gradius Rebirth. And, you know, I'll be talking about these games a little more in depth a little later on OLR. Checked out the demo, at least, for Hasbro's Family Game Night. Final Fantasy Crystal Towers. I think that's the name of it. The Tower Defense
Crystal
game.
Defenders.
Crystal Defenders. That's it. I knew it was, you know, the Tower Defense game that just has black mages in it. Not only on the iPhone, but on the Xbox 360. So, yeah, I've been pretty busy as far as checking out new stuff. Loki, what kind of games quickly? I know we usually will get into this at the top of our show, but just what kind of games have you been doing this week?
Grand Theft Auto 4 all week long, and there's a reason for that.
Uh-oh.
You want to share a little bit of that with Bobby?
I figured out how to hack the Xbox 360. So that's what I've been playing with.
Mm-hmm. So did you guys hate Bit Trip Beat as much as I did, or am I like the lone wolf out here?
I haven't gotten to play it yet, but from what I hear, it's insanely hard to the point of not being fun.
No, it didn't bother me at all, actually. I think it's kind of neat. And I had a friend play it, and he thought it was kind of fun, too. The game's a little more scripted than I would have thought when I was first glancing at the trailer and so forth, and maybe that's the one thing that's a little weird about it, but I didn't dislike it. It's a little short, being only three stages, but when you consider that it's probably about the equivalent of three Rock Band songs for about the same price, I'm okay with it.
And they're 15 minutes.
They're
15-minute stages.
That is true, yeah.
So it's like 45 minutes worth of stages, and you'd never make it through all the way the first time. At least I
think. The difficulty's pretty hard. It's kind of scripted in a way, almost. But, yeah, I know. I had heard – I haven't listened to last week's show when we were gone yet. I had heard that you were critical of the game. I didn't think the game was stellar, but I thought it was kind of unique, and I thought it was fun for the little $6 title it is.
So what would you give it out of 10? Or do you want to hold that for later?
I usually don't rate things on a scale of 10, but I would probably
say... Okay, how about 6? You can do it on a scale of 1 to 6.
Can I do like a letter grade? If I give this game a letter grade, I'd give it probably a B, B minus.
Okay. That'll work for me. Let me write that down. There's a reason.
Well, okay.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Wait. I got to know what's the reason behind this.
Oh, you just picked a winner for my contest.
Oh, okay. I get it. All right. Nice. Okay, I'm sorry. What else are we going to be talking about tonight? Well, gosh, just trying to catch up with the latest and greatest in gaming news. I mean, obviously, you've touched on some of the things we want to talk about. You're right. Probably every podcaster has some type of opinion on live, and certainly we do, too. We want to talk about that a little bit. And we want to talk about some of the other announcements out of the Game Developers Conference as well, including some of the latest things with Nintendo. Obviously, one of my biggest standoffs with Nintendo has officially come to an end with Game Developers Conference, so we'll be elaborating on that a little bit as well. Talking about PlayStation news as well. I don't think I heard you get too much into some of the PlayStation news that came out of Game Developers Conference, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on with Home, you know, but the whole question is, well, last time we heard about Home at Game Developers Conference, it sounded all kinds of awesome, and then we actually played it, we were like, meh. So, you know, kind of approaching the news we're getting out of GDC this time from that angle, seeing if it's actually exciting news or what, and talking about some of the Katamari best ofs and some of the other things coming out for PlayStation as well.
Yeah, now one of the things about Home is, you know, I just didn't work it in because there was so much to talk about and I didn't want to go 2 hours tonight. But, you
sure,
know,
sure.
There is that, I don't know if it's Xi or XI or Z or however they want to do it, but it's, they say it's the world's first alternate reality game that's in a virtual world. Is it really an alternate reality game when it's already in an alternate reality?
I guess because it's the same format of, it'd be like playing a board game on a PC. It's still a board game.
But I mean, they don't even like try to hide the fact that it's an ARG. Like they have the weekly recap in there, and they have, you know, the scrolling thing that's like, oh, well, if you can't find the three pieces of paper, go do this. You know.
Yeah, that's like putting out a video and then immediately calling it a viral video.
Right.
You can't do that.
You know what, though? I give him props for anything besides, you know, what I usually see in Home, which is any cute girls want to chat. You know, I give him props for,
trying
to make it different.
I wouldn't call it an alternate reality game, but I am kind of interested in the way that they're doing the storytelling of whatever it is. They're going to call it an ARG. But I do like kind of where they were going with it, and I actually thought that space was a lot better used than that Guitar Hero one.
They're probably just going to waste some time until it gets to E3, and then they're going to make some announcement or invite some stupid people that, you know, are part of this ARG thing and that figured it out to E3, and they're going to make some announcement of some title or something, and hooray.
I've been calling it she, by the way.
Okay.
Like, I think, because doesn't the X have that sh sound in some Asian languages?
I think that's what it was.
Who's she?
How is it spelled?
XI.
Yeah, I think that would be...
Not she as in Dark Sakura, she ran the show. But,
or if you want to look at it a different way, you can call it cross-eyed because, you know, the cross-media bar.
If you play too many video games, you'll
Well, they were saying that they were planning on doing maybe some, I don't remember if it was revamping the cross-media bar or something like that, but cross-eyed, there you go.
Well, I mean, it is about a girl, so you are trying to figure out what happened to her. So she actually could make sense. We haven't seen... Well, no, we have seen her. I don't think she is. That's a good question. So
maybe
Orange Lounge Radio is coming up next here on All Games Radio, orangeloungeradio.com. Thanks so much, guys.
You're welcome, and I think Loki might have just figured out the game. She's cross-eyed.
There you go.
See ya, Bobby.
See ya. So, the Killzone 2 contest, for those that might have missed it, and we mentioned it at the beginning of the show, I got a sealed copy of Killzone 2, courtesy of our friend Zaku Pilot over at Sony. Basically, I called for people to send in their PSN name and the answer to this trivia question. The trivia question was, in the E3 2000 demo of Killzone 2, the developer stated that one character model had the exact same amount of polygons, or not the exact, but had the same amount of polygons as what? And the answer that all six people did, that's why it was 1-6, all six people got the right answer. It's an entire level of Killzone 1. So one character model in Killzone 2 had the same amount of polygons as an entire level in Killzone 1. And congratulations, Deadwing34. You were in the correct spot in terms of this to win Killzone 2. I'll be getting with you and sending out the game this week. I'll get your email, your mailing address from you. So congrats to Deadwing34 for winning Killzone 2. That's it for me this week. We will see you next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. You can join us and chat with us directly. Or Friday night gaming. We're over at the Computer Arena in Roswell, Georgia, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on allgames.com and fnglive.net. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. We'll be playing a new bumper next week. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com and join our forums over at allgames.com and take part in our community. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. AGN, Chrisville1724, DC Nate, Derek H, GK128, Hendrix, the Rob D, Burr, D5T, Eswat, Funnydale, Kitsune, Mako, Maximilian, Shadows Liar, Stone Raider, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Act Def, Aki Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Amesitsuma, Analog Outrage, Ash Fox, Bacon Bits, Binary 667, Breast Lowell, Channel Z, Cita Bria, Crispy, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, De Blue Guy, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, D Man, DRP223, Game Guru, Gold Anthro, GS68, Hecht, Hero 78, Henderson Man, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Interlogic, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, K-Dog 96, Kazan, Kulex, Elfrost, Mavali, Melted General, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Poor Leno, Prowler 38, Ranma, Recon Elite, Seymour Booties, Shadow Next Gen, Sound, Sub-Z, Sully 907, TDB 30, Tedekin, The Raven, The Billy O'Keefeworth 2, TM95, Tyrone Hawk, Valirno, VXJSNXV, Warham, What Up G, Wilcon, X-Link, and Zappy. So that's it. We will be back next week. And, you know, by the way, if you didn't call in, you suck. And sometimes if you call in, I will tell you that you suck as well. So play games better. Better than me, at least. I suck.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.